This is the May 2015 audio version of the investment conditions report. Wanted to start off and share, I just reread the book Anti-Fragile by Nassim Nicholas Taleb, and I'm going to do a couple of podcast episodes based on that. But I was reading the introduction of the report, and I talk about how favorable investment conditions can be thought of as favorable weather. And just as you don't launch a sailboat when heavy storms are likely, there are favorable investment conditions when the sun is shining, there's a tailwind, and that raises the likelihood of positive return. Now, Taleb distinguishes between what he calls black swans and gray swans. Black swans are a completely unanticipated, unexpected event that arises from just the interaction among complex adaptive systems. It could be something inside the system or outside the system that causes the surprise, and then there's a chain reaction. Now, you can't really monitor investment conditions for black swans. What you do for that is, and that's why I'm going to do a couple episodes on it, that's where you always scale your stock exposure. In other words, your maximum stock exposure is at a level that if markets indeed sold off 30 to 50% over the short term, that it would not undermine or seriously impair your lifestyle or your retirement plans. And that's one reason when you look at my portfolio in the current portfolio profile, only about 20% of my portfolio is in stocks in terms of overall net worth. And I come to that conclusion from certainly comfort level, but if markets sold off by half, that would only impact my net worth by about 10%. And hopefully other aspects of that, of my overall portfolio, would gain. What we do with investment conditions, when we talk about favorable weather, is we're looking for what Taleb describes as gray swans. Those events, those market events that you actually get some foresight, not so much by predicting when they'll happen, but looking at when conditions are right. And generally, favorable investment conditions align with positive investment returns, and unfavorable investment conditions are generally associated with subpar investment returns. And so we're focusing on gray swans, always recognizing that black swans are always a probability, and so you have to adjust with that in mind. In terms of markets in the month of April, generally strong markets throughout. The All Country World Index achieved a 2.7% return in U.S. dollars. It's now up 4.6% year-to-date, and local currency is up 5.8% year-to-date. In terms of the regions that have done best, both for on a year-to-date basis, Asia continues to shine, up about 13% in U.S. dollars, 12% local currency. Europe is also doing well. Europe is up 7% in the U.S. dollar and just under 11% in the euro. The one region that continues to trail is emerging Latin America, but they had a very, very strong month. And so it was trailing in both local and U.S. currencies. Now emerging Latin America, after a 10% return in U.S. dollars in April, is only down 1.3% in U.S. dollars term. In terms of the breadth of the overall market, 63% of countries posted positive returns for the month, so 29 out of 46, and then 87% of countries that make up the MSCI All Country World Index achieved positive year-to-date returns. That's both on a local currency basis. And so very broad rally in stocks this year. Hungary is the best performing market, up 43%. And Greece is still negative, down 17%. On the bond market, the dollar actually weakened during the month, and that impacted returns. So on a hedge basis, the global aggregate declined. And so year-to-date, bonds in U.S. dollars, global aggregates down 0.9%. That's just because of the strengthening dollar year-to-date. On a hedge basis, global bonds are down up 1.3%. For the month, all bonds were pretty much negative in terms of the broad-based U.S. bond market fell 0.4%, and European bonds fell 1.3%, and that's really due to rise in interest rates. So the worst performing sector in the U.S. in April was long-term treasuries. They fell 3.1%. High yields were the best. They gained 1.2%, and high yields up 3.8% year-to-date. Now, there was a change in the investment conditions report. Previously, last month, and we have this dial here that shows, the numbers on the dial aren't, I show green, yellow, and red. Now we're sort of in the yellow. Before we were in the green, we had valuations were yellow, and they continued to be yellow. The market internals continued to be green, and they are still very strongly green. And I'm going to focus on each of these briefly in more detail. But the change is to economic conditions. Economic conditions were green. I've now ranked them as yellow, and that's really due to a potential slowing down of the economy as calculated or evidenced by PMI data. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But when you look at the recommendation, it's still to maintain a weighting in stocks that's modestly above your long-term average. But so certainly not toward the upper end of the range that I talked about in the previous 4 months. But perhaps it's time to pull back exposure a little bit just because the economic outlook is not as strong as it was. And at the same time, because markets have rallied so much year to date, with both Asia and Europe up double digits in local currency terms, that has pushed up valuations. When I look at valuations, and there's a chart in the investment conditions report, the All Country World Index, the earnings yield at the end of April was 5.3%. So the lower the yield, the more expensive the valuation. So it's down from April when it was 5.4%. Since the cyclical bear market in 2011, when stocks sold off double digits around the globe, valuations have continued to increase. So you had the sell-off there in 2011, fairly cheap valuations, and then they've continued to progressively increase generally month by month. As we look at the overall valuations, so as I mentioned, All Country World down to 5.3. Asia got cheap, more expensive. Their earnings yield's 5.8%. Emerging markets got more expensive, particularly with the rally in China. So emerging markets down to an earnings yield of 6.8%. China or emerging markets has still the cheapest valuation across the globe. But when you compare emerging markets valuation to its own historical valuations, they're not cheap. They're fairly valued, as are many areas around the world. Europe valuations actually improved a little bit, but the earning yield remains 5.2%, so it's up slightly from 5.1. And the U.S. valuations are also a little stretched at 5% earnings yield. That's the same as last month. So there's not been a huge difference in change in valuations. Generally, so overall, valuations have gotten more expensive, and that certainly is not a cause for alarm, but something to be mindful of. When we turn to market internals, those are still very, very strong in terms of momentum, in terms of trend and sentiment. So 67% of global stock markets above its 50-day moving average. That's down slightly from 70% last month. But compared to the 200-day moving average, 83% of global stock markets are now above the 200-day average. That compares to 73% last month. So you've had a broadening out of the gains. 71% of stocks have a rising 200-day moving average. That's up from 67% last month. So you have more participation. It's gotten broader. Generally speaking, when more than 50% of global stocks are above their 50-day moving average, markets have returned, as measured by the All Country World Index, 11% per year. And when it's been below 50%, they have fallen at 13% annualized. When I look at the underlying stock within the broad indices, generally you also have good momentum and trends. Global stocks are not overbought or oversold globally. I've talked about how China has been severely overbought and why I reduced my exposure there. But generally, when you look at market internals, particularly given the strong returns year to date, they are very broad rally, and it continues as part of the overall secular bull market. So that's green. Valuations are yellow. Let's turn to economic and why I changed it from green to yellow. There's a PMI data chart. PMI is really highly correlated. These are monthly surveys done around the globe to manufacturers, asking them about the state of their business and subsets of that. The range, I guess, goes from 0 to 100, but generally speaking, most countries are between 40 and 60. And if you're above 50, it generally has been highly correlated to an expanding economy. The overall J.P. Morgan global PMI fell to 51, so that's still in expansion territory, but it's down from 51.8% last month. The long-term average is 51.4, so we're now below the long-term average. But more disconcerting is only 30% of countries showed a positive month-over-month PMI increase, and so that's down from 57% in March, and only a third of countries show positive year-to-year changes. And so we've had the broad participation in terms of economic growth has slowed because only 30% of countries are now showing increases in PMI. Now, that's not to suggest that we're heading into a global recession, but the point of the investment conditions report is to adjust based on conditions. And the probability of a recession is certainly higher than it was last month or several months ago because you're not getting as broad a participation. I have recent PMI data on 33 countries around the world, and 15 are showing PMIs below 50, so they're in contraction territory. And so that's when I've set economic trends as yellow. It's really because we have almost half of the countries showing contraction. Now, hopefully that's temporary. You can get periods where PMI gets like that and then rebounds, and hopefully economic growth will continue, but it's something to be monitored. And that's the point of the investment conditions report, just to monitor conditions, not to predict. But we're looking here for gray swans, unfavorable conditions when we might want to pull back risk. I did sell some equity. I mentioned in the portfolio profile, the audio, that I was considering reducing exposure to Finland. At least I believe I mentioned that. I went ahead and sold my exposure to Finland, mainly on valuation concerns. I sold at a profit. It was about a 3.5-4% gain, but valuations for Finland really were getting more expensive, and the status of their economic recovery was somewhat opaque, I guess. And so given that, technicals were not as good, so I reduced exposure there. I've not made any other changes to the portfolio. My exposure of stocks is still above average, but I'm continuing to monitor conditions, particularly valuations. And if we see market internals start to deteriorate, I could potentially pull back my exposure to stocks more. Any questions on this, you can email me, jd@jdavidstein.com. Thanks.